Last week, I did talk about the fear that Martin Luther had. Last Tuesday was the Protestant Reformation when Martin Luther put those 95 statements on that church in Wittenberg, Germany. He challenged the established church, and what he was saying to them in a nutshell is, the church does not have the power to save. A priest, a pastor, a pope, a deacon, nobody can forgive sins except for God. And so he challenged the church, but until Luther had gotten saved, he had lived for many, many years with the fear of God. He was afraid of God until he finally placed his faith in Jesus Christ, and he saw that by trusting in Christ, he had been covered in the robe of God's righteousness. He had been saved. And he no longer was afraid of God. In fact, it was Luther who later said that one must know God as an enemy before one can know God as a friend. In other words, you have to understand that sin is standing between you and God before you will ask for Christ to forgive that sin and receive his forgiveness, and then you can know God as a friend. And so in the process, Luther overcame his fear of God. He became a wonderful Christian. He became very close to God. And that's kind of where we ran out of time last week, because I was wanting to talk to you about some other things that God wants us not to be afraid of. And one of the things I said at the beginning of last week's message is simply this, and this is where I want to pick up today. Fear eventually vanishes in the presence of faith. Let's say that together. Fear eventually vanishes in the presence of faith. And so when we trust Christ to save us, we're not afraid of God. God is our Father, and we have a closeness to Him. But there are many other fears that many times we do struggle with. And as I was preparing last Tuesday's sermon, and then yesterday when I was re-looking at it to get it ready for today, I thought, now God, what fear would you have me to talk about that would be an appropriate thing today at the Tuesday Bible lunch? What? Because there are a lot of fears out there. There's fears of getting sick. There's fears of running out of money. There's a lot of fear. There's fear of heights. Fear of tight spaces. There's a fear of snakes. There's a fear of spiders. Years ago, I read a list of the top 10 fears known unto Americans, the top 10 fears. And, you know, some of the stuff was like what you would expect, snakes, spiders, public speaking. But on the list of the top 10 fears, I found one of them very interesting. It said driving in Louisiana. Now, I don't know about that, but that was a top 10 fear for Americans. And so today, though, what I want to talk about is what I consider to be the greatest fear that not just Americans, but human beings worldwide have this fear, and it is the fear of death. And so if you'll open your Bibles today to Hebrews chapter number 2, we read where the writer to this book talks about the fear of death and how paralyzing and how horrible that fear can be. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse number 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, that is Jesus, likewise shared in the same, that is, he became one of us, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Now watch verse 15. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And so he's talking about how the fear of death can put a person in bondage. It can paralyze a person. It can dominate a person's thinking. The fear of death can rob a person of the joy of life. Someone has said, we're not really ready to live until we're ready to die. But if we're not ready to die, or even if we're saved and yet still we don't understand death, it causes us to be afraid. And the scripture says this fear of death can put us in bondage, it can put us in shackles, and it can take the fun and the joy right out of life. And so what I want to talk to you today about is how we can conquer, first of all, how we can face our fear of death, and then how we can conquer our fear of death. We know we're going to die. Unless Jesus comes first, we know that we are going to die. I was sharing last Wednesday night in the service that since our church started, moved in, let me get my side straight. I guess we were on this side in phase one in June of 1999 when we kind of finally got out here. We had been at two locations for 5 years. June of 1999, we all came back together and we had our first Sunday at what we call the new location. Did you know since that time, that's been 18 and a half years ago, and my numbers, these are rough numbers. I may be high, I may be low, but it's close. Approximately 900 of our members have died since the first Sunday at our new location. We noticed that about one member dies every week. And so we've been out here for 18 years. That'd be over 900 people in that period of time, maybe well over 1,000. And so what I'm saying, this is an encouraging topic that you're on. Thanks for that. But no, the reason I said that is if we live long enough, we're going to join that number unless Jesus comes first. And so what we want to do is to be ready for death. So, we all hope it's 50. Sometimes somebody will say to me, now, John, I want you to have a part at my funeral. I want you and your dad to say something at my funeral. I want Jimmy to sing at my funeral. Anytime somebody asks Jimmy to sing at his funeral, he gets out his calendar and says, let's get that scheduled right now. And he scares them. Now, Dad and I aren't that way. But I always say to a person who says that, I always say, well, now, you know what? I'm hoping that's going to be 50 years from now. Or even better, I'm hoping Jesus comes first and we won't even, neither one of us will have to die. We just all go up in the rapture and be with Him. But unless that happens in our lifetime, we are going to die. And so God wants us to be ready for death. Now, I have a theory that I've never heard anybody say. I've never read this. I'm the only one, I think, who has bought into this. So that's a little bit scary itself. But I have a theory that for us as Christians, the death experience is going to be so wonderful, so peaceful, such a blessed experience that after we have died physically and immediately been taken to be with God in heaven, that's what happens when a Christian dies. There's no such thing as soul sleep. When the Christian's body dies, we go immediately to heaven to be with God. The scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Say that with me. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So bodies die, souls never die. My theory is the death experience for all of us as Christians will be so peaceful, so wonderful, that as soon as we get to heaven, not that we will literally say this, but it's almost going to be like we'll say to God, God, that was so wonderful. Can I do it again? Can I die again? You remember when you were a kid and maybe you went to your first amusement park and you saw a big roller coaster and that roller coaster scared you and it intimidated you and you said, there's no way I can ride that. And the friends you were with, they talked you into it and you got on that ride and you rode that ride, and after the ride was over with, you said, man, that was so much fun, let's do it again. I think death is going to be like that. I think for a Christian, death is going to be so peaceful. Something we've looked at from a distance and we've always wondered, well, what's it going to be like? Even those of us who are saved, we think, how will it happen? When will it happen? Will it hurt? Will I be alone? What will it be like? I'm telling you, first of all, if you're saved, you won't be alone. Jesus will be there. And when it happens, it's going to be such a blessed experience that when you get to heaven, you'll almost want to say to God, let me do it again. But you won't say that. You'll be so happy in heaven, you wouldn't want to come back to earth and do it. But I think you get the point I'm making. Now, what I want to mention today in this message are three things that happen in the moment of death. Three things that happen in the moment of death for a Christian that will make death such a wonderful and such a blessed experience. Number one, in the moment of death, we will have an unusual awareness of the presence of God. An unusual awareness of the presence of God. Most of us are familiar with the 23rd Psalm. David wrote it. He was writing this at the end of his life. He's looking back on his life and he was thinking about how good God had been to him and how God had taken care of him and met all his needs. And right in the middle of that psalm, David said in that fourth verse, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And so when David thought about his own experience of death, he said, God, I don't know when it'll be. I don't know how it'll be. I don't know where I'll be when my body dies. But I know this, I'll not have to be afraid. Because when that time comes, you will be with me. It's interesting, we go back to Martin Luther for just a moment and how he had come to know Christ as his Savior and no longer had a fear of God, and then he no longer had a fear of death. And in Psalm 31 in verse 5, we read a passage of Scripture that Jesus actually quoted when he was dying on the cross, where Jesus prayed from the cross right before he died. He said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Did you know on Martin Luther's deathbed, he prayed the same thing? He said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Not long after that, he died. And so what I'm saying today is that for those of us who are saved, those of us who are Christians, the death experience is going to be a time where we have an unusual awareness of the presence of God. The best thing that I can compare that to in a human experience is surgery. I'm sure most of you have probably had a surgery in your life, be it major or minor. And I've had four surgeries in my life. Some of them have not been all that major, and a couple of them have been a little more serious. But I have had the same experience in all four surgeries. As the nurse and the team came into the room where I had been with my family, where they prepare you for the surgery, and then they roll you down the hall, and then they roll you towards that operating room. Did you know on all four times, all four pre-surgery experiences I have had, I don't know when God has ever seemed more close to me than he did as they were just rolling me into the operating room. And I just had such a peace and such a calmness and such an awareness. You know, there comes a time before surgery where your family has to tell you goodbye. I mean, they can only go this far. And then it's just you and these strangers that you don't even know. And yet, in that moment, God is there. And I've always had that. I've said to the Lord on all four surgeries, I said, "Lord, and I'm just praying it's going to be a successful surgery, that the doctor's going to do what he needs to do, and I'm going to come through, and everything's going to be fine." But I've said this to the Lord. I said, "Lord, at the end of this surgery, when I wake up, I'm going to be in your presence. I may be in your presence in heaven, or you may be with me in the recovery room, but either way, when I wake up, you're going to be there with me." And I've had such peace. And so I think that is the closest experience I've ever had in life, four times, to something like what death will be like, but God will be there and his presence will be absolutely fantastic. Amen? Isn't that good? So that's first thing. You say, what's it going to be like in death? First thing it's going to be like, you're going to have an unusual awareness of the presence of God. The second thing that's going to happen to you when you die, and the reason you don't have to be afraid of it, is because in that moment, as life is ebbing away, and you become aware of the fact that your body not going to make it much longer down here on earth, not only are you going to have an unusual awareness of God's presence, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have an experience in which heaven will be opening to you. It's going to be, and I've not died, so I can't tell you, "Hey, I died and this is what it's like." I'm just telling you from the Scriptures. In the moment of death, not only will God be there, but it's going to be like in our minds and in our soul and our spirit, we are becoming more aware of another place, of another city. And that city in that moment will become more real to us than the city in which we now live. Do you remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14? On the night before he was crucified, he was talking to his disciples about his own death. And they were there in Jerusalem in the upper room. And he could tell they had lots of questions. There were things they didn't understand. And so Jesus said to them, "Let not your heart be troubled." He could tell they were troubled. "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Verse 3, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And so in the moment of death, not only will Jesus be there, but he will be there as our escort, the one who personally carries us and takes us to heaven. Heaven will be opening. Dwight L. Moody, the Billy Graham before Billy Graham, 100 years before Billy Graham lived, Dwight L. Moody. And God used him to shake two continents for Jesus Christ, North America and Europe. He was a wonderful Christian, an anointed preacher. And on Moody's deathbed, as he was dying, life was ebbing away. He was aware he would not recover from this physically. He knew God was there. But he had an experience where he I don't know if he visually saw heaven open to him or if he just knew that he was about to be there. And Moody said these words to those who had gathered around his deathbed. And before I quote Moody, you remember what David said in Psalm 23, verse 4? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say, though I walk through the valley of death. Jesus walked through the valley of death. Jesus took the... He said, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So, as see, we're not going to die. That's the best thing about death for us as Christians. We're not going to die. Our bodies are going to die. But we're going to just go through the shadow of that valley, not the valley itself. Someone has said, the shadow of a dog can't bite you. The shadow of a bee can't sting you. And for a Christian, the shadow of death can't hurt you. And so here's what Moody said, reflecting obviously on the Psalm, on 23rd Psalm. Moody said this: there is no valley here. Life is receding. Heaven is opening. This is my coronation day. What a beautiful way to die. He said, there's no valley here. There's nothing to this. Jesus has taken the sting out of the death experience. There's no valley here. Life is receding. Heaven is opening. I'm seeing a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And he said, this is my coronation day. This is the day I move from here to there. And it was a peaceful experience. He's riding that roller coaster that he had feared, but now that he's on it and now he's moving to heaven, he has absolutely no fear. So in the moment of death, God will be with us. We'll have an unusual awareness of his presence. You have nothing to fear. I think what we really fear sometimes when it comes to death is we just don't want to die alone. We want family to be there. We want friends to be there. Well, I think that's normal and natural. But think about it. If in the moments of your death, all you have gathered around your bed are your family and friends, you're going to be telling them goodbye. That would be kind of sad. But if in the moment of death, you have an unusual awareness of the presence of Jesus, you're not going to be telling him goodbye. He's going to be telling you, come home. And so, either way, whether there are people there or not, Jesus will be there, angels will be there, you have nothing to fear, and heaven's going to be opening for us. And then something else that I think is so very important at the moment of death. I know I'm almost saying this as though I had had the experience, and now I've come to tell you about it. I've not had the experience. I will have it unless the Lord comes first. I'm taking it from the Scriptures. In the moment of death, peace will fill our hearts. Peace will fill our hearts. We won't be afraid. You've heard my dad and I through the years talk about Adrian Rogers and our love for him. Pastored Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee for over 30 years. Godly man and a wonderful pastor. He's still on the radio today. He died in 2005, but he's still preaching. He's like Abel. Though he's dead, he still speaks. And every day he speaks at 3:30 on 105.7. Every night he speaks at 8 o'clock on 100.7. And so if you're in your car at that time, you might want to hear Adrian preach. In October of 2005, I went to the First Baptist Church in Naples, Florida, for a one-day preaching conference that Adrian led. I call him Adrian just because I like the name Adrian. Obviously, out of respect, I would say Dr. Rogers, but I just think the name Adrian's a neat name, so I call him that. And on that day, he lectured from about 9 o'clock in the morning until about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and he told us in one day not everything he knew about preaching, but everything he thought we could absorb about preaching. It was the greatest day of lectures that I've ever heard in all my life. He had, before that conference, been battling cancer. He had been coming to Houston to MD Anderson. In fact, my dad had offered him his car on one occasion, and it turned out he didn't need it. But he'd been receiving treatments down here. And he said to us at the beginning of the lecture, he said, gentlemen, he said, I want to say something about my physical health before I get into this preaching deal. He said, first of all, I think I've had a word from God. He said, I think that God has healed my body. He said, but here's how I look at it. Whether he has or whether he hasn't, whether I live or whether I die, it's a win-win situation. Because when my body dies, I'm going to heaven to be with the Lord. It's a tremendous testimony he gave. He lectured all day. 5 weeks later, he died. And he went to be with the Lord. After that experience, some of the family who had been in the room with him just before he died began to recount what it was like in the last moments of Adrian Rogers, one of the greatest Christians, one of the greatest preachers who ever lived. And the people who were gathered around his room were his immediate family members and a man named Steve Gaines, who was his successor at Bellevue Baptist. He's the pastor there in Memphis today. So Dr. Gaines was gathered around Adrian's bedside. And as it turned out, they were going to have to put him on a breathing machine so that he could breathe. And when they hooked him up to that breathing machine, they knew in this particular case they would never be able to take him off of that. And so once he got hooked up to the breathing machine, he would never be able to speak again. This golden voice, this great voice for God, would never be able to speak again on earth. Just before they hooked him up, as the nurses were getting ready to do that, he said, "First, before y'all hook me up to this," he said, "I just want to say to my family and to Dr. Gaines," he told him how much he loved him and so on, but he said, "I want you to know this before they hook me up." These were his last words. He said, "I'm at perfect peace." They put him on the breathing machine. Family left the room. Dr. Gaines left the room. And there was Adrian on his bed. He knew it was his deathbed. He's on his breathing machine, can no longer talk anymore at all. Steve Gaines said that after he had gone back into the lobby and talked to the family for a few minutes, he just wanted one last time to peek back in that room where Adrian was. I guess it was an intensive care unit room, and just to see if he was awake, or he wanted to just look at him one more time. And so when he went back in and kind of peeked in the door and saw him, Adrian opened his eyes. And of course, Adrian couldn't say anything. He couldn't speak to him anymore. But Steve Gaines said this. He said it was like, as much as he could with his eyes and his facial expressions as best he could, he's kind of like he smiled at Dr. Gaines. And then Adrian did this. He gave him a thumbs up. What I'm saying to you today is that I don't know if you'll be on a breathing machine. I hope you won't. I don't know how old you'll be. I hope you'll be 150 when you die. But I know this. In the moment of your death and in the moment of mine, we're going to have an unusual awareness of the presence of God. Heaven will be opening to us. It will be more real to us in this moment than earth ever has been. And we're going to have a peace in our heart that would enable us to smile and to give the thumbs up to whoever's in the room as our testimony that we are trusting Christ all the way to heaven. Amen. And so, Father, today, anyone here who is in bondage to the fear of death, I pray you'll break those shackles and set them free. And I pray, God, that they would not live with that fear anymore. Now, today, if you've never trusted Christ, if you've never been saved, you should be afraid of death, because for you, it wouldn't be like I've described, not until you get saved. Would you just pray this prayer now? Say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sins, and make me a Christian. I ask you to save me. I trust you to do it. With all my heart, I trust you. In your name I pray." And all the people said,